Blog Talk Radio.
Have you on today as a guest. Now, George, tell me,
as a board president, I mean, the board of, you said the board of education, correct?
Yes.
And, wow, and how long have you been on the board of education in your town?
I've been on the board of education since I was appointed early 2009. I won re-election in 2010, and I was just named president in April. So about almost 2.5 years now.
Wow, well, that's astounding. You haven't even been on the board that long, and they've already named you president.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate in that I actually grew up in my community. I lived there all my life. I knew a lot of people. I knew the issues. I knew what was going on. I have a daughter in school. I have 4 or 5 nieces and nephews. I know everybody. So I had a little insight. I knew what was going on, and I had been attending meetings before. And when I got there, they were impressed, and they asked me to be president this year.
Wow. So let's talk about your position and your role in the community. And so congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Because it really does, you know, feel good, and I feel very honored to have you here on the Coach LaLisa Show, a person who is very active, a male, no doubt, a man and active in the community in these days. And so I know sometimes people think that unless, you know, they're looking at pictures or memories of, you know, the Dr. Martin Luther King and some others, and they sometimes feel like, you know, there was only one great leader, but I'm constantly reminding people that we have hundreds, if not thousands, of Dr. Martin Luther Kings living today. And that means people who are living their dreams out in the community helping people. And so I'm so glad that you're on today because you're living proof that these individuals are right in our reach. So you're right here, and well, I don't know what town you're in, but the 908 area code, I know it's got to be somewhere probably in Union County, and that's really within reach in terms of, you know, being here in New Jersey where our show is located, also in Union County, New Jersey.
Yes, I'm actually in Hillside, right outside of Newark and between Union, Elizabeth, and Irvington.
Oh, well, you're right home. I can just probably throw a rock and hit you then.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know the Hillside Board. I don't know it that well, but just to let you know, you're talking to a woman who ran for the Hillside Board of Education.
Oh, okay. Well, what year was that?
That had to be, I can't remember exactly, and I really should keep all that information, but it had to be somewhere around 2000. I'm not sure if it was 2001, 99, somewhere in that neighborhood, because I'll find out later, but what happened was, I don't know if you remember Mr. Raymond Royster.
I remember the name. I don't know him personally, but I remember the name.
Yeah, he passed away probably about a year and a half ago. But he was very, very active on the board. He had, you know, his children grew up in Hillside and blah, blah, blah. And he and I actually ran on the same ticket. So if you remember, if you know people like Marvin Breaker.
Yes. Him and my mother are good friends.
I was Marvin.
Mr. Breaker and my mother are good friends. He's a great guy, and he's one of those older black men that's actually willing to give younger black men advice without feeling threatened that anybody's going to try to take his spot. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I was his secretary for 3 years.
Okay.
When he was over on North Broad Street. Now, did you ever work in his office?
Oh, no. The first time I ran for board back in 2008, I actually knocked on his door, and he literally pulled me in his house and gave me advice. And he really didn't know me that well, but he was willing to share advice and let me know how things work. And a lot of times, you don't find a lot of people willing to do that.
Oh, somebody's
calling. Sorry about the noise.
Hey. Someone's car alarm is going.
Somebody's calling.
Get rid of. No. Can't. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right. I can go on. I just had to get away from that truck.
Okay. All right, that's a truck. Okay, so Marvin Blaker, yes. Very prominent person in the community. And so giving you that advice, that's like Marvin. So imagine for him years, a lot of boys, long years. And back in 92 when I worked for you. So you probably were still somewhere in junior high or something back in the day.
But I mean, I said you probably know Miss Jaffe then.
Okay, you know what?
You know Miss Jaffe? She's a current board member.
Now I don't know her by that name. I don't know her by that name.
Natalie Jaffe. She's been on the board 15 years. Well, actually, she's going into year 16, 17, and 18.
Met her because I believe I had to, you know.
But she's our longest serving board member.
Yeah, I'm sure I had to meet her because this was back then. Actually, it was Marvin who encouraged me to run for office.
Okay.
He had run for mayor. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But back to you, Mr. Board. So now that I'm just even more honored that, you know, again, I love Marvin Blaker, love what he stands for. And, you know, the fact that you're the president of the Hillside Board of Ed, the same board that I ran for years ago, just to do it. It wasn't, I don't have children, didn't have any kids in the school system. Didn't grow up in Hillside, none of that. I only ran because of the opportunity to run. And I ran because I wanted to show people that you can do anything you want. So I had been a high school dropout and some other challenges that I should have been the most least likely person to even consider for Board of Ed. And I actually had gotten quite a few votes. And someone said that I even got as many votes as a person that had been on the board for years. And these people didn't even know me. But I guess it was just my passion that about education. So now you're the president. So I am very happy to know you. So Mr. Board President, and you also said that you deal with the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts. And so what ages are the young men?
I do. Mostly Cub Scouts, we start them at 7 to 11. Because I wound up working with the Cub Scouts because of my position on the board. The Cub Scouts came to a board meeting, and they wanted to bring Cub Scouts back to Hillside. They wanted to bring Boy Scouts, period, back to Hillside. I said I would help them get a location, whatever. Next thing I know, I wound up having to be the PAC commissioner. They needed somebody's name on the documents to get the PAC started. They didn't tell me that once you agree to help out, you kind of get stuck with the PAC. Not that that's a bad thing, but you basically, the first two or three adults that sign up basically are the ones that are going to run it. So for 2 years, I've been the Cub Scout commissioner. Actually, we just got honored 2 weeks ago by the town. They named, was it May 18th, is Cub PAC 97 Day in Hillside, because while working in the community and the boys raised over $700 against the fight multiple sclerosis in Cranford. So we were just recently honored by the town.
Wonderful. Congratulations, Mr. George Scott. Awesome, awesome work you're doing there. And now you say you do all of that, and I know that board job, that is like three full-time jobs rolled into one. Am I correct?
Yes, so especially in June, because you have graduations, awards, ceremonies, a lot of things you, as president especially, that you have to go to. And a lot of people think you go to one meeting a month or two meetings a month. Like you said, it's almost a constant job. Every night you can literally be leaving your house and going to an event, or like these last 2 days because of the heat, I've been on the phone constantly with the superintendent because they're trying to judge when we should take the kids out of school. Today we decided they only need to do a half a day, send them home. But there's little things that come up during the course of a day that a lot of people don't realize, that being a regular board member is very time-consuming. And once you become president, nobody prepares you for how much time is going to be invested. But the good thing is you're helping people, and you actually do learn a lot about how politics work, about how school systems work. You actually do learn a lot, so that's a good thing about it.
Now, do you also have, okay, so you do have, so you have your own family, And how is that working where you have to spend, because I said, when I ran for, I just ran, and the person I ran with who had been on the board for years, he said to me, one day we were getting our pictures taken for some of the, you know, pamphlets we were going to put out, and he said, trust me, little Lisa, if they don't pick us, we win.
And he was absolutely right. Like, it's funny you mentioned that.
He said, wow, it is going to be amazing. So anyway, go ahead.
Because my wife, this past week with the elections going on in Union County with Donnie, I was helping out with that. We had groundbreakings, we had committee meetings, we had assemblies, and my wife, when are you going to come home? Are you going to be home tonight? And you have, I tell her, it's going to be at least 1 week every month where it was just crazy. And she's kind of sort of got used to it, but I guess you can never get used to it. And I always tell her she needs to call Michelle Obama and ask her how she deals with it.
Yes. Wow. You know that's interesting. And maybe you can see if you can hook that up, Mr. President.
Yeah, I wish I could, but it's
hard. You can call Obama and say, hey, from one president to the next.
But it is hard on your family. I think people do need to know that before they run for any office. It does, especially if you have kids, it gets hard on your families because the kids start to say what mom says or what dad says. Are you going to be home tonight? What do you have to do tonight? And it's one thing coming from your wife, it's something different when it's coming from a 12-year-old. So you do have to understand that it is time-consuming, but you have to find a way to make time for everybody and everything.
And so how do you do it? I mean, you've been doing it now, obviously, a couple of years. So
yes.
What is your secret?
Ooh, I mean, you try to manage. I mean, when you – one thing to do is that if nothing comes up for the board on that day, don't go looking for anything. Don't go looking for stuff to do. When you have time to spend with your family, spend that time with your family, quality time. Just don't sit around. And keep your family informed so – they don't walk into the house and you're walking out. Let them know what's going on. That's the biggest thing is communication. I actually put a schedule up on the refrigerator so my wife can look in advance and she'll say, okay, you're doing something this night. And also try to include them when possible. If you can bring your family with you, bring your family. When they get to be involved, they don't feel it's something foreign. They don't feel that you're out there doing something they have no knowledge about. I mean, my wife, she actually wants to become a Girl Scout troop leader now, so that's good. Once she saw what we do, she got interested, and she's my daughter's a member of Girl Scout, but now they want to start their own little thing. So when they get out there and they see other things, sometimes they get involved, sometimes they want to help. Just keep your family involved, and when you do have family time, keep it family time. Don't do other activities. If it's family time, keep it family time. But that's one way to really get in trouble if you can't keep your family time.
Well, I certainly want to just take a moment to, again, if you just tuned into the show, you're listening to Mr. George Scott. He is the president for the Hillside School Board. He's been a board member for a couple of years, and then they elected him to be president. And that is a big task. And he's also running the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts here in Hillside. And he has a family, and he has a child. And you say it's a daughter?
Yes,
so
a little girl.
I know that's even 20 times more work. especially at that age. You said 12?
12, yes.
Okay, so it hasn't quite happened yet, but when they turn 13,
no.
Something mystical happens with girls.
I've been warned.
Uh-huh. Well, because I have a program that I'm just launching for girls 13 to 19. So I'm definitely going to be talking to you about that. But I want to just take a moment to thank and honor our scheduler for the show, Ms. Patricia Martin, who is doing an amazing job in going out and getting great people like yourself to come on the Coach LaLisa show to empower people, to motivate them, and to inspire them. And you and your story is truly, truly all three. It's inspiring, it's motivating, it's empowering. You know, so you're into politics. because it's the school board, it's politics, and a few questions I want to ask, and I certainly would love for you to share anything that you would want to share with us. So how many, a couple of the small questions that you probably can answer quickly, and then some longer ones, but how many schools do you have in under your watch?
We have six schools, and we have one building that we're currently leasing, which we're going to get rid of at the end of this school year.
Okay, so, yeah, because you have one, you have your one high school, and then you have your
school,
other.
We have a middle school, then we have four elementaries, well, three elementaries in the early learning center, but we had to move our second grade out to make room for everybody. So we actually have St. Catherine's on Broad Street. We're actually leasing that right now. But we're going to move. We're reorganizing our schools to make everybody fit. So that's a huge task we're undertaking now. In September,
wow.
all of our schools will be reorganized. We're moving the
wow.
sixth grade to WK, so we now have a true middle school. So we've got a lot going on.
You are going to be busy. Well, we're going to pray your strength, young man, because that's a task and a half. And then you have to deal with, you have your board that you have to deal with because you're like quote unquote their leader. Well, not that you are their leader, but almost like their boss, but not their boss, but partner kind of leader boss.
Yeah,
partner leader boss all rolled into one. But then you also have, like you said, the superintendent of schools, and you have all the principals, and you have all the parents, then you have all the concerned people. Oh, my God, you have a big watch. It sounds like we're getting you ready for, what, the state senate, Congress, what?
Actually, in November, I'm running for the ward council, the first ward council.
Okay.
I think the hardest part of being in politics is dealing with the public, dealing with other people, like the superintendent, other board members. That's something you're used to because it's a small group. But with the public, if you make one group happy, you can almost guarantee you made somebody else angry. So you can never make everybody happy. But if you are making everybody happy, I always view it as you must not be doing your job or you're lying to one group. Once you get in a position of leadership, you're going to have to make calls or do things that are not going to be very popular at times. But maybe the right thing is going to be times everybody wants to put you on their shoulders and carry you down the street. It's going to be other times when they're coming down the street with pitchforks and torches. And that's just part of the job.
Wow. You're so right. I remember when Marvin Breaker was running for mayor and I was on, you know, helping him out with that campaign. But I had, you know, like I said, was his secretary. So I, you know, had a lot of conversations with him one-on-one. And he really did not want to run. He was encouraged to run. He was empowered to run. He knows politics inside and out. The Johnny Cochran's of the world and Donald Payne, and these were his people that he talked on the phone with every day. These were his good friends, top leaders in the United States. You know, he knew Ron Brown and all of the. He was very, very, you know, connected. But he constantly, you know, you got to watch it. You have to watch it. He was very aware of how the politics will try to do you in, you know, with the, you know, a lot of things happening where people, like you said, trying to force you to do things. And if you make one group happy, you know, inevitably you're making another group unhappy. And how to get that, you know, how to make it all work and so that you can still go home and be the father and the husband that you need to be
yes.
to your family. And that's what Marvin was most concerned about. He, you know, if you know his wife, he totally loves her. And if you know his two children, and that they were much younger then, because Camille at the time, she was like maybe six. So, and she's good, like grown now, okay? The baby is grown now, so you know how long ago this was. He totally loved his, and so that was a big, he had a very hard time running for mayor. He would have been an excellent mayor. He could have been the president of the United States as far as I'm concerned. And as far as my mother is concerned, because my mother loved Marvin Breaker, but he did understand that you have to have it all together in terms of, you know, your faculties and your mindset. So you, oh my God! And now I have a sister actually who's on the phone, and I'm not going to open up her phone line, but I just want to acknowledge her and acknowledge that she's listening to the show. And possibly sometimes her daughter does listen, but her son actually did go to one of your schools, which was the, he went to the, was that George Washington?
Yes. DPW, yeah.
For 1 year. They're in his sixth grade year. So you're saying now those sixth graders are going to be moved to WOK.
Yes. Make it a true middle school.
Oh, wow. You're going to put them in with the seventh and eighth graders.
Yes.
Okay.
That's been an issue we've had, yeah.
Now I'm going to really pray for you. Because, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Anyway, but no, I know other schools. Like in New Jersey, like where I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, for us, junior high was 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah, in New Jersey, it's considered 6th, 7th, and 8th. So
I know,
New Jersey
does everything.
But we've been catching a lot of flack from the state because we had a weird setup. And the state's been saying to us, you know, middle school was 6th, 7th, and 8th, right? They just kept saying that to us. And because it was affecting our test scores, we finally had to do something. We had schools being classified as in need of improvement when they really didn't. But when you have sixth graders in which elementary schools, one school counts as an elementary and a middle school. So both sections have to pass the test in order for that school to pass. And if the elementary section passes and the sixth graders don't, even though it's an elementary school, the school is marked as in need of improvement. Which is not fair to the elementary school section, and vice versa. If the sixth graders were to pass and the rest of the students didn't, it wouldn't be fair to them. So we have to put them where they belong just for testing purposes. So we have at least two schools classified as in need of improvement that are really actually passing their elementary school kids. But because one segment is not doing well on a test, the school is marked as failing when it's really not.
Now, for us parents and community people who may not understand all of what that means, what does it mean when they say that the school needs improvement in terms of the leadership and the terms of what you all do? What does that mean when they are classified as needing improvement to the state?
What it normally means is there's a one subject where they're lacking in, and like you said, it could be leadership. It could be the teachers in the classroom. Which is why, without reorganization, we're moving more than 50% of our teachers and principals around. So that gives us a clean slate. We get to start from zero because after 3 years of being classified in need of improvement, it's possible that the state could come in and take over that school.
Okay.
And we were fortunate in that we had an easily identifiable problem. Our fifth grade is with our elementary school, so we had an easily identifiable problem as to what was causing many of our issues. So we were going to do that this year. It's a big undertaking. A lot of people are not necessarily happy about it. But when it comes to education, you know, you have to take chances like Michelle Reed did in Washington, D.C. She's out now, but she was starting to turn that school district around. And she took a bold chance. She took a bold initiative. Her problem was communication with the public. I don't think she did that well. And we're trying to do that. We're trying to reach out to people, but it's not easy, even when you put things in the paper. There are people that say, I don't read the paper. If you put it online, I don't do the website. If you do a phone call, I didn't get that call. Some people don't Twitter. Some people don't Facebook. So when you send memos home, the older kids, and the younger kids that get it, the older kids, it never seems to reach mom and dad. So no matter what you do with somebody, you always claim job, you guys didn't communicate. But we're trying to communicate. We're trying to put everything out there. We keep the website updated, which is the best way to find out what's going on. We send memos home. We're trying a lot of things right now.
So the school board then in Hillside is running. The school board doesn't run the schools.
No,
does it?
No,
no.
The school board's job is to make sure that the schools run well. The superintendent,
okay.
the guy that you pay the big bucks to, is the one that runs the schools. If your board is running your school district, I can almost guarantee you your school district is not doing that well. The superintendent, he went to school to run the school district. He's the educational. He should be the educational expert in that district.
He or she is
the one that should be running the school. That's what they do. The school board's job is to hold that person accountable.
So like a governance board.
Yes. Well, our job is to hold that. We make policy and we hold that person accountable. That's the school board's job, to make sure that the schools run, to make sure the school district runs well, but not to actually run the school district. And I think a lot of people get that confused.
Now, what about in Newark? Isn't Newark? Wait a minute.
Well, Newark has an advisory board. They're actually still under state control. They have, their board is in an advisory capacity. They can go through motions. They can try to do things, but they have to get approval from the state to actually do anything they come up with.
Wow. I remember when I first, because I guess I'm from Ohio, and when I first moved to New Jersey, the Newark School Board, right downtown on Cedar Street, I know a lot of people that work. They were the ones, and I remember when the state came, you know, took over. And, I mean, because I wasn't in the school system per se, I didn't know all the ramifications, but just remember it being a very, very sad time for many of the employees. Many of them were losing their jobs, and this, again, is going back a good 10 years ago at least, if not a little bit more. But, yes, go ahead.
It's been over 15 years, I believe.
Okay, I know it's been a long time.
And from the good thing about it, it's a bad thing to have the state control, but budget-wise, they don't have to really worry about their budget failing, like smaller districts like ours do, because the state runs the district, so the state, of course, is going to give them the money they need to run their schools, but they have no control over their budget. You know, they like the governor hires their superintendent, so So when you don't have control of your own district, it is an issue. It is a challenge.
Well, you know, I know you got a busy day, and I don't want to keep you because it sounds like you got kids enough. I know you've listened with this heat. I appreciate that you've been on this long. You certainly do not have to stay on. I appreciate you. And I know you got stuff to do. I mean, our show does go until 8, and you are such a pleasure to talk to. We're learning a lot here about if you wanted to share anything else. I mean, any words of encouragement? What if, you know, I kind of wanted you to say, if you could somehow, what is it that the average person in the community, what does the board need? You know, the typical board president in any, just in general, no matter where you live, whether you have kids or not, what is it that the board wants most from the people, the community?
The one thing I could say, and I can just right off the top of my head, and every board president, every board member will say the same thing. We want community and parental involvement. You go to any well-run, any good school district, the parents are deeply involved. And I don't mean trying to run the school. I don't mean trying to put the programs in. But they're very involved in with their kids' homework. They're very involved in the schools. They volunteer to work in the schools, help out with the libraries, and they attend board meetings. And I understand it's hard to make every meeting, but if you can't make a board meeting, make a PTA meeting. Stay involved. Don't get detached from what's going on at your child's school. You want to be that parent where when people see you coming, everybody's running to the principal, Mr. or Miss So-and-so is here. Because those kids, you know, those kids get treated well. They tend to get a better education because nobody wants to see Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so coming into the school wanting to know why this didn't happen or what's up with this test score. Like, no, I know this isn't right. So you have to be involved in your child's education. And one thing I do want to say to everybody is nobody's an average person. Anybody can – you can do anything you want in your community. It's just a matter of finding out how to do it and learning how to do it yourself. Of course, you want people to help, but take a chance. Put yourself out there. If you're doing the right thing for the right reasons, people will see that, and you'll be surprised at who will step up to help you. People you never knew or people you thought didn't really care for you that much, when they see you trying to do something positive, help will come from all kinds of places.
Well, you have truly encouraged me because I kept holding back on trying to do some things. I've been wanting to do things with teen girls for about 8 years now, and I just didn't get started because I didn't think I had all the pieces in place. So if no one else, you have truly helped me today with your comment right there. Just go on, get started, start doing it, and watch the help come. So I totally appreciate that, and I hope that everyone listening is that to heart. And that you go in your community and do something, anything that you want to do. And I'm glad that you did time to break down for us what parent involvement means, because we are, you know, our people involvement, because people always say that parents get involved. What exactly does that mean? So, you know, like you said, you could go and volunteer in the library. You could go help out in the school cafeteria. Maybe you can go on class trips with the students if you're home during the day. Or if you have one day a month, like you said, any little thing you can do is going to help that school. And now, I wish that people could ask you a question or two, but since I'm not able to open up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
With community language, if you, let's say you may be, maybe you're a scientist, maybe you're a child, maybe you have some special skill, ask the principal, is it okay if I come in this one day and share this with the kids? It doesn't have to be career day. It doesn't have to be bring your parents in there. You never know what might be said to a child to motivate a child. It's powerful when a child knows somebody or that's so-and-so's mom or dad. Oh, they can do it. I know them. I can do it, too. Just being there, being present, letting kids know you care. If it's a field day, any event you can get to as a parent, help out. Help you. If you can't get there every day and the PTA has an event, help your PTA out. If you can't become a member because it's time-consuming, that's okay. But if you're here doing something, step up to help out. Everybody has a skill that can help out a school. You may not, at the time, you may not even realize it, but everybody can do something that can help out.
And, you know, that was going to be my next question. Actually, you took the words out of my mouth about going to these schools because, I mean, just to keep it real with you, I have tons of skills that I have been begging. I was a high school dropout, turned now college graduate three times over. And I think I know what happens to kids to make them want to drop out, apathy and all this other stuff. But sometimes I feel like I'm begging schools to come free. And I'm telling you, I almost never get calls back. It's only
well,
reason.
I mean,
that's not complaining.
But district,
it's an issue.
Somebody
needs to deal with
it. Yes.
This is
every
to me.
District is like, this is our district, and this is how we do it. So sometimes it is hard to get your foot in the door.
And the thing is, here's the thing. I'm not even, I have jobs. I have career. I don't even want, I just want to help kids. It ain't about, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking, this is volunteer. This is not even for pay. Just to even volunteer, they seem to not let anyone in. It's like a it's like almost like a clique at a school where the girls over here don't let this girl in. She's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's new, and who knows her, and who lives by her, and what does she wear, and who does her hair, and where does she get her nails done, kind of thing.
Yeah, but, One thing I can definitely tell you is when I first decided to try to get help out with the kids, I had trouble getting in. One way to that you can get in, not necessarily through the schools, is through the recreation departments. Most recreation departments really don't have a full set of programs for kids.
Gotcha.
So you can go to a recreation director. I would like to run this program. They might be a lot more open than, say, a school district might. I know every year I do a Halloween parade in Hillside for the last 2 years, and instead of going through the town, I did it through the recreation department, and it cut the red tape, and recreation department, they have their insurance, they have whatever, they have the room, they have the facilities, and it's normally a lot easier to deal with recreation than it is to deal with a school district, because normally the director can make a call, whereas the school district, you have to wait for the meeting to come, you need five or however many people to agree with it. So I would always tell people, try your recreation center, try your local library. I mean, there are always people looking for different things, especially if it's free.
Okay, and that's wonderful advice, and I thank you so much for that. And here's one more point, though. And I know, like, you got to deal with the heat today, and then tomorrow there'll be something else, and then you got the end of the year school fights coming up and all that. And then you have people like, you know, myself, who have these powerful anti messages, you know, cyberbullying stuff, texting, sexting, and all that. But you see, now schools will repeatedly put up with these behaviors and then, you know, address the problem. Okay, yeah, we'll suspend this kid, we'll expel that kid, we'll you know, put this kid in the corner, when you could have brought someone in that God has anointed this person to empower kids and motivate kids. But and so, again, I'm wondering, when will the leadership of the schools, principals, teachers, counselors, superintendents, and maybe you as board president, you can't talk about it now, I know, because you guys are doing other stuff, but somehow that's got to be slipped into leadership. They got to know that. I said, I don't understand what the problem is, if it's that, you know, I'm going to just keep it real. I'm going to tell you what it feels like sometimes. I'm just going to tell you, and you probably already know this. It feels almost as if they don't want the kids to get better. Now, I know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you how
Yeah, I understand that. I know other people have tried to get programs into a school, said the same thing. They said they don't feel people are listening to them and things like that. But a lot of schools are trying to start. Okay, go ahead.
But here's the problem. Even if they're listening or not, what it translates to is that they don't want to help the kids. I'm not worried about the teachers and the principals and all those people. I'm worried about the child who is failing, who will now take their grade school level failure into junior high and fail, and then they'll get to senior high and possibly drop out, and then people are up in arms saying, why is dropout rate so high? Why is teen pregnancy so high? As if nobody knows how to fix it. Well, when people were offering you things to the sixth graders that could have fixed it, you said, no. And these are educated people. I'm not talking about for what. I remember most teachers still have to get at least a bachelor's degree.
Yes.
And counselors have to have a master's. These are well-educated people. I don't understand that. But anyway, I know you have to go, and that's a whole other show, but I just wanted to throw that out. Now you can respond in any way you like.
Okay, what a lot of people don't know, and just between me and you, we don't tell anybody, that principals actually have a lot of say over what programs come into their school. If a principal wanted to have an assembly on bullying or an issue like teenage pregnancy or do something, a principal could. A principal does not need board approval. A principal is given a budget at the beginning of the year. You're giving them so much for assembly. So if a principal feels a program is worthwhile, at that level you can get it done. And many boards are trying to bring in programs now because bullying is a big issue now.
Big. Kids are dying, killing themselves. Now, question. You said a key word. You said they feel worthwhile. Now, why would a principal... let's just talk New Jersey, and I deal a lot with Newark, but let's just talk New Jersey, period. With what I know of what's happening in the community, oh, your school may be very successful, but if your kids are not even graduating because they're in the grave, at least when I was going to school and dropping out, we were still living. These days, the graduation rate is going down, and I don't know what percentage of them are being buried, but it's a lot of them. It's too many, way too many, for any principal to say no to almost anything. That's just me. And when I go to some schools and when I look at, because I do, and I ran the College Bound program for 4 years at Essex County College, and so I had 7th grade, 8th, up to 12th for 4 years, and we were in most of the inner city schools in Newark. 13th Ave, West, you know, all of the schools there, right? So when I go in and look at these schools and see what some of these kids are doing, I'm sorry. You don't tell me you couldn't have carved out 20 minutes a day for them to get some kind of empowerment message. I just can't see that. Your day was just so full of academic enrichment.
But like I said, it's up to, you can affect at the local school level. You can get your principal, especially the PTAs. Principals listen to their PTAs, and if they feel that the PTA can stress the message, we think we need this in our school community, there's a very good chance it will happen. And also, when it comes to things like gangs, bullying, it's just like with a town or a community, nobody really wants to admit that it happens at their place, at their school. I think that's part of the issue also.
See, that right says a lot, too, because you don't want to admit that you have issues. Yet when you're sending out the flyer telling everybody, oh, another teenager was murdered as they walked home from school, or another kid hung themselves, a 13-year-old girl hung herself in the bedroom because kids were sending her threatening messages over the internet, or another kid who just didn't feel included, then gets a gun and comes into school and shoots up a few people, stuff like that. So nobody wants to – so in my point, I guess, is that if you don't acknowledge your problem, it's going to get exposed anyway. So I don't get that.
Yeah, but I think it's just like with police in suburban communities don't want to admit that they have gangs when there's a gang problem. People want to say to this, not in my neighborhood, not in my school. I do think that plays a role in how issues are addressed. I think it's human nature.
I think you're right, and you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, you're right, because even in our personal lives, we will not pay a bill, spend our money foolishly, as if it's not going to show up on our credit report. So then when we get ready to buy a house and we can't buy one, we're like, well, why wouldn't they give me credit? Well, you didn't say that, all those, you know, paychecks that you were just spending, spending, spending. So you're right, you're right. It's the same concept. If we don't accept things, and this is how it is humanly, that's the first instinct is to, it's not in my backyard, it's not me, it's not my child, it's not my school, it's not my home, it's not me. So Adam did the same thing, you know. Adam said, it wasn't me, it was me. So we got that, as my mother would say, we got it right. We got it inherent. Okay, so you know what? Really, really helped me understand that, because I really was, like, kind of struggling with that for a minute. I'm like, wait a minute. I see what these, I mean, you know, the cursing of these younger, and you mean to tell me you wouldn't let someone come in and just even talk to them for real about, you know, properly, oh, handle relationships and things like that? You would rather that go out there and, you know, fall in love with. So, all right.
Okay.
Yes.
So one thing I will add is that in most school districts are still, you know, still we react instead of being proactive, and that, like you said, it would make sense to have programs in that let girls know early, but it comes down to leadership. It comes down to the makeup of your school board, of your principals. I mean, if you come from a suburban district or area where certain issues are not prevalent, you may not be receptive to that. It may not hit you that such a program is needed. You may not see it right away. So we have to also, when you're electing school board members, you have to put people in that really reflect your community. If you want things that you want to see done or programs you want to see, you need people that understand those issues and are willing to keep on it. Like, I think we need this. I think we need this. I think we need this. So that's part of community involvement. Because, you know, school board electors are notorious, but nobody's showing up. You have
less than
5%
right.
of the population make decisions for all of our kids. I always thought that was ridiculous.
You're right. And you know what? Another thing, too, is that you can keep in mind, as you're at these board meetings and as you're dealing with your leaders, you can keep in mind that, you know what? When people begin to talk about the problems and how this and that, you can always know, you know what? A lot of people out here that can come in here and fix our problems if we would only let them, if we would only find a way to let it happen. Now, I know they can't let everyone in, and they can't trust that everyone has the solution, because anybody can say, I have a solution. But I think that they should be able to look at what people have done the same way interviewers do when they're ready to hire people for a job. They say, tell me what you've done in the past, and that's a great, and that's how good companies hire talented people. They say, tell me what you've done in the past, and that's a good indication to us of what you're going to do in the future if we were to hire you. And so I can't see why schools can't look at what I've done before, not so much that, you know, they have to know how they can judge what that person would. If you get somebody that hasn't done anything, hasn't led any groups, hasn't motivated anyone, hasn't changed any lives, well, sure, you may be skeptical of that program. But when you have people that have a slew of people that who have testimonies that this has helped, this is, my child was failing and now my child is doing better, you know, you shouldn't have to have a commercial on TV like the Sylvan program. You shouldn't take all that, you know what I'm saying, when our children are failing. And I know that some schools, I don't know how they grade these kids, but, you know, once I got on the right track, I'm not saying that you get a C, but I teach at Essex part-time, why settle for a C when you can get an A? When all you have to turn the TV off a little bit longer, you know, don't text a little bit, you know, text a little bit less and get the A, and then once you get the A, you can text all night if you want.
Yeah, well, one thing I would say to everybody is, I know it's disappointing and sometimes you feel like you keep getting the door slammed in your face, but one of the silver linings about this bad economy we're in right now is that school districts are looking for programs that are free. I mean, we're looking at a few things now from outside people, because if you can get somebody, like you said, if you can get somebody to do something for free that lives in the community or cares about the community and they have the proper certifications, they've worked with kids before, they've done those things, you have to look at it. If you can get we have a relationship for our aftercare with the Boys and Girls Club. If we pay for it, it would be a ridiculous amount of money. But you have people that care and that this is what they do, so you bring them in. So you, right now, a lot of districts are looking at that kind of stuff because it just makes sense financially. So I would say keep trying if you have a worthwhile program.
Yeah. So it's okay. I'm glad to get an educated board person school, because the questions I've been having for a long time.
I got that idea.
You could tell, right?
Yeah.
Oh yes, because I said no. I'm sorry. You have a person who flunked out of school, was a high school dropout, went back to school at 30-something, accomplished 3 levels of degrees and working on a PhD. I wouldn't care what that background. You need to let that person talk to all of your 8th graders and up. I just don't understand people.
I'm surprised you haven't been asked to come in and talk.
Exactly.
I mean, you would be a great for somebody, especially kids that are teetering or who really don't see the need to go to school. Because a lot of kids, most of the kids that drop out, really, they don't see the value in going.
That's half the kids. What are you talking about? I got college students that don't know how they got there. I teach at Essex since 2003, taught at Union County College for 3 years. They don't know why they're there. They don't even know how they got out of high school. They barely made it out. They're barely in there. They're taking all 0-level classes, about 4. No, some of them, most colleges, you're going to take like 4 to 6 0-level courses.
They're doing what they're being told to do.
Parents are paying for these classes that you should have took in high school for free, but parents are paying for them in college, and they're worth 0 credit, not enough. You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to take remedial classes if you've been in high school for 4 years.
Exactly.
I would say we have to keep our school systems in check. Well, it is not just urban districts. We have valedictorians from suburban districts going to these big schools and get them. They realize they're not ready. It's something in education. It's just not black kids. It's just not urban kids.
When I taught at Cranford, Westville, all those towns, Scotch Plains, all that, I had students sit in my class, white students, who had gone. I say, oh, because every semester, first thing I want to know is, who are you and where did you come from? And they would some of them would say, oh, I was at Penn State, I was at this college, that college, Cornell. I'm like, so you decided to come to Union? You know, well, my parents said, that my grades were so low and they weren't going to continue paying. But these are the same parents when I was a recruiter for Union County College, and I remember recruiting one time at Hillside High, but we went to all the high schools, and we went to Columbia High School, all the high schools in New Jersey to recruit, and the students and the parents, they would walk Union County College table with their noses in the air. They're not putting our kids, local kid is going away to a college campus where there's grass and this and that, and these would be some of those same parents whose kids end up back, or they should have. To me, what's the sense of graduating that college with the lowest score? You know, you graduate with a 2.9 GPA when you could have started at the junior college, gotten your A, then went to a 4-year school. Anyway, so that's just my little soap. This is my little soapbox about education, but oh well. I'm so glad to have a board president here that I could discuss. But I guess, you know what? This really does fit, because I guess I could still consider Thursday this was a hot topic. Education. Now, one question before, I know you have to go, and if you have anything to tell us, you got a few more minutes, but one quick question is, and I'm glad we got a board president here. Finally, we get to ask somebody who should really know this answer. Do they really build scales based on third grade reading levels of boys or something like that?
There's a lot of rumors. Do they really do that? Not as much as they used to. One thing I will tell you that still does happen, how you do early in school really affects you on the way through school. If you're, like you said, you told the kid to get an A instead, if you can get an A instead, that is so true, because they see that you're an average student, you're most likely not going to be in a classroom with the best teachers. Normally the best teachers go with the best students, so you can get the best scores out of those kids. Kids get slotted very early. And if you get stuck in a slot where they expect the average work out of you, you're going to get average teachers, average courses. And it's very hard to get out of a slot once you get stuck there.
Now, I was always wondering about that. That's so interesting that you would say that. That's because that's okay. Uh-huh. Now, unlike college, students can register for the best teachers if they want, regardless of their GPAs. They register for the times, and they can see all the professors' names are listed, and as long as they register early enough. So it's the exact opposite when you get to college. You can choose the top best professors, and some students, not every kid knows that, so a lot of students still get the worst professors on the list because they registered late, and so those students register way ahead of time, and so the classes fill up. So that's how I learned that trick because I went to Fairleigh Dickinson and graduated Union County College, so I learned a lot that other kids didn't know, and I was a part of Phi Theta Kappa, and that's an honor society, so we all talk about that kind of stuff. I didn't know nothing about that. I was a high school flunk out. But when I got to school, well, anyway, one guy says that when I got there, I got motivated. So there you have it. So I guess that's why I believe in motivation. I had a longtime teacher tell me, because I told him my story, and he says, oh, okay, well, when you went to college, you was motivated. So that's how I know that motivation, I know it's a key to how well our students school, and so why they would met motivation. Motivation should be a every school, every day. And that's why I do this show. Every morning we're here at AM to motivate people so that whatever they do, we got people on the line, businesses, we have people that are also talk show hosts just like myself. They tune into the show. We have authors. We have people, jobs in all capacities from the post office to whatever you name it. And have retirees who tune in because they're still doing various projects in their lives in the community. And so motivation, we know it's important. So anyway, you have really opened us so many doors, and you shed a lot of light. So appreciate you, Mr. George, and wish you so much success helping you. I mean, I would love to help you out with your campaign. I'll knock on a few doors, especially if you're going to be campaigning in the warm weather. Now, I'm not – if it's snow – if it's snow, I'll do some inside.
Well, it should be early November, so the weather should still be kind of nice. It'll be October, November, so the weather should still be kind of nice. But
okay.
I appreciate you having me on, and I hope I've enlightened you, let you know some things. And
you've been a blessing.
It was a pleasure.
Yes, and we'd love to have you back at some point after you deal with your heat problems and all your other stuff.
I would love to come back.
Oh, we'd love to have you. Well, we thank you again, and have a great and fantastic day.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Okay, everyone. Well, you have just heard from a board president. I tell you, that's a first. I've had on the show in the past, I've had a council. Actually, he was the mayor. He won. I had him on the show before he became mayor of I believe he's a South Orange or the Orange mayor. So we had him on the show. Unfortunately, I cannot see the chat room, so I cannot see all of your wonderful comments, though the chat room is open. And so I trust that if Patricia is in the chat room, she's making some comments and answering any questions that you might have. And if you were to have a question, I would not be able to open up your phone if you did have a question, but if you did have one, you know, you can always call at a different time. But now, 90 seconds left to the show, and so I just want to thank that guest. That was awesome. I got a lot out of it. I don't know. I'm sure it helped some of you because some of you still have children and or you have grandchildren. You have grandchildren in the school, or you have children, or you have cousins, nieces, nephews, family members of some sort in these schools, and that you need to be aware of how to help them, how to help the school. And let me just encourage any of you that are looking to get involved. You can see that there's a tremendous amount of work that is needed in our communities. And it is important, and the education. And I hope you took to heart what he said about these average students. So while some parents and students feel, oh, well, at least they got a C. At least they got a C. They okay. They got a C. Well, you heard it from the president of education pretty much. And that is, There are, unfortunately, not every teacher in the school is a top superstar teacher. And the students who do average work get average teachers. Therefore, they're getting an average education that later is going to turn out that guess what's going to happen when it comes to getting a job? They're going to get the average jobs. And you don't want to instill that in your child. Instill in them to get the A. Get, you know, I tell you, that's the only reason I was able to go from GED to PhD is that I took the attitude that I'm getting an A. And then I sat and thought of, if I had only did this in high school, I could have done it then. What was stopping me? Nothing. But me. The only thing stopped me then is the only thing that could stop me now. So take that to heart and make sure your children are doing their best, okay, so that they can get the best teachers, so that they can get the best education, so they can go out there and they can really be the best, which is what you want for them anyway. I know you want that for them. You know, I can tell that parents want the best for their children. I can just look at the amount that they spend on clothes and games and technology. You know, there are kids who have $300 and $400 cell phones and they don't even have jobs yet. Why? It's not because it's because the parents love them and they want the best for them. Well, I understand that. So parents, if you really want the best for your children, give them the best education. And that starts, and that means you got to start early. And like you said, you got to put that time in. Again, if your kid sees you coming up to the school once a month, not because you were called to come, just to go and visit, that kid will know that you care. And I'm telling you, if something magical happens, I wouldn't have believed it if I had not heard it out of a teenager's mouth herself. It is something magical that happens to kids when they know you care, not when you know you care, because you know how it is. You know you care, but do they know it? Can they feel it, in other words? The same way we have in relationships. People want to feel that you care, all right? So your kids want to feel that you care. Well, this has been the Coach Lisa Show, and I do thank you for those who were in the chat room. Thank you to Ms. Kiva, and I know she has her show on today. Pat said, great information. Thank you, Pat. Okay, whatever training for kids who live, okay, who live always up. Okay, thanks to Mr. Cooks. Yes, he did join us. Sorry, Pat, I wasn't able to get into the chat room, so I'm just getting there just now. But he did touch on some powerful, powerful stuff. Okay, he did touch, have two kids. And okay, definitely, Pat, you heard him say what it takes to get in touch with him and you heard him talk about. excuse me, you heard him talk about what it takes to get in touch with your board, what it takes, and you heard him talk about the control that the president of the school does have. So now we know, Pat, where to take our program to for our teen girls that we're going to run. Oh, you didn't know that, right? Okay, yes, you're going to help me run this program. And then we need to get with some the girls that are like Yazzie's age. But anyway, everyone, have a great and powerful, powerful day. We'll see you. Well, I didn't realize we were going to have a hot topic, but guess what? That education thing is a hot, and it got hot. I guess you could kind of feel that. So we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place, on the Coach Lalisa Show. Everyone, have a powerful day.